Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm Ayan Bior in Washington. Here are some of the stories we're covering today, Tuesday, May 15th, 2018. World Vision aid workers are abducted near the area of Yangiri. And South Sudanese stakeholders gear up for round three of the high-level forum.
We don't want to see recurrence of violence after violence after violence. We wanted to go to Juba, to South Sudan, deliver peace that everybody will be happy.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Sources confirmed that at least one and possibly two World Vision aid workers were abducted by unknown armed men after two of the agency's vehicles were ambushed while traveling from Tumbura to Yambio earlier today. The ambush reportedly occurred in the area of Yangiri. A World Vision spokesman in Washington, D.C. confirmed the incident to South Sudan in Focus. This program is following developments and will provide updates as they come to us. Representatives of various South Sudanese groups have begun arriving in the Ethiopian capital, Addis Ababa, to attend the third phase of the IGAD-led high-level revitalization forum, slated to start on Thursday. The spokesman for an umbrella group of 10 opposition parties called the South Sudan Opposition Alliance says the alliance looks forward to signing a genuine peace document. Kwaje Lasu tells John Tanza the opposition alliance will negotiate in good faith.
We, an alliance, we want to see a just, genuine, sustainable peace. We don't want to see recurrence of violence after violence after violence. We wanted to go to Juba, to South Sudan, deliver peace that everybody will be happy and should not worry about any future rebellion. We are hopeful and we really wanted to deliver to our people back home.
You're saying you're hopeful. Let me give you a scenario here. When we ask who is an obstacle on the road to peace, the opposition will quickly say it is the government. The last time I spoke with you, you accused the government of putting what you call unrealistic demands on the negotiating table. And when we ask the government in Juba, they say the opposition is, quote, emboldened and are blocking the road to peace. This sounds like you are just blaming each other.
I think it's the other way around. The government is the one saying that we in the opposition come in something unrealistic demands. But if you look at our positions and as we continue this negotiation, our position is reflective of the needs of the people. If you ask every South Sudanese today in Juba, in the displaced camp, and in POCs or in refugees outside the country, they'll tell you exactly this is what they wanted to see. They wanted to see genuine peace. They wanted to see democratic transformation. They wanted to see development. They wanted to see justice and accountability. This is what we believe in as an opposition. Now, as far as the government would like to maintain this status quo. God knows why, but we can speculate that maybe the fear of justice and accountability. I mean, you know, all along, the government is always against the hybrid court. Why? If you're innocent, why are you afraid of the justice?
Given that this is your position and it sounds like you are not ready to compromise, has the opposition ever made compromises on some of its hard positions in the past?
Well, you have to define what is hard position that require compromise. Why would we sign an agreement or compromise in a position that will bring the country back again to Circle One? That's the question that need to be addressed first and foremost. We cannot whatsoever go back and sign a document, as has happened in 2015, that led to continual suffering of our people. We're willing to compromise, but the compromise has to be in a way that we want to see just, genuine, lasting peace in South Sudan, and people have to be held accountable.
From your statement, it appears the government and the South Sudan Opposition Alliance have locked horns on the issues of governance and what IGAD calls responsibility sharing.
Responsibility sharing for us and as opposition is a secondary to the core issues that need to be addressed. For example, if you look at the security sector, quite honestly, today, what we have is not reflective of the people of South Sudan. It's a tribal entity. How can we not address this core issue and start talking about power sharing or responsibility sharing. Let us be realistic.
Talking about being realistic, my observation is that most of the various groups opposed to Juba are also formed on tribal lines. Why are you pointing an accusing finger at Juba only?
If you look at us today as SOA, when we come together, we are a diverse group. We are reflective of the people of South Sudan, and that's what we want to see happen in our country.
Back to your negotiation tactics. It appears the demands of the South Sudan Opposition Alliance are written on stone.
Negotiation, it is give or take. It is a win-win for the people of South Sudan. It is not a win-loss for opposition or government. It is a win-win for the people of South Sudan. But our base, which is the innocent people of South Sudan, this is what they see. This is what they dictate to us. This is what they would like to see happen. And that's what we're going with. More importantly, it's about the people of South Sudan.
All eyes are on Addis Ababa. People in South Sudan are hoping that this time around, the opposition alliance, SPLM-IO, and the government should end the conflict and bring peace to the country. What are some of your immediate demands that you are taking with you to Addis?
We have the high level of trust deficit among the people of South Sudan, the government of South Sudan opposition, and continuous violation of cessation of hostility. And most importantly, South Sudan refused to sign declaration of principles, what we have signed initially. We also have to address, for example, now, the current government in Juba. What is the legitimacy of that government?
That is Kwaje Lasu, spokesman for the South Sudan Opposition Alliance. He was speaking to my colleague John Tanza from South Carolina. Rebel leader Paul Malong says the IGAD mediators should invite his group, the South Sudan United Front, to attend the forum in Addis Ababa. Malong says he wants to be part of a team looking for ways to end the conflict.
My next action as a movement is to join the ongoing peace in where people are discussing that peace.
Did you form your movement so that you can join the peace talks?
Well, you see, why people are in Addis? They are in Addis to find the solution. Why should not join them if there is a solution in that peace talk to also into the list, the all of us should be there. If the people fail to achieve, then those who are discussing and also the Sudanese will just sit and ask themselves where they should go from here.
How would you react to people who would say you form your South Sudan United Front timely so that it can save you from the atrocities that you committed in the past? You want to join the group in Addis so that if there is amnesty, it is given to all of you. How would you react to that?
You see, I'm a South Sudanese. If there is an accountability, I will be accounted to. When I left Juba, I tell you before, when I left Juba with no intention of forming anything. So the issue is not for me to serve my face. The issue is to serve some Sudanese, because it is not me alone. You see, those who are now in Juba, they are there against their will. We have been removed from position. He was removed and confined.
But you were removed from office and you got angry and traveled the whole night going to your village.
Okay. That one I should be asked. You see, when I was removed, I called the president contact because there was something unusual around my compound. I called somebody who was carrying his phone. I got him. He was out. He had directed me to the second person on duty. He did not take my phone. I have called acting executive director of his office. I got him. And I said, go to the president, tell him, yes, I'm being removed. But the activities around my house will just explode. We can cause fighting. Go and tell him. And when I left, I was on the main road. And in that main road, there are forces in the main road. I did not fight them until I reached Europe. So that's why I have accepted to come back when they asked me to come back.
If there is one message you want to give to the people of South Sudan, what would that message be?
Okay. You see, my message to South Sudanese and even to these partners in the region or international, is that the only can bring peace is the going out of Mr. Salva. I think everybody will go back and the peace will prevail.
Are you telling me that Salva Kiir is the problem to peace?
Exactly. Who is the problem? The war has started between two, between Machar and Salva. Machar is now out. Why is Salva remain inside?
Because he's the president.
The president is not a property of one person.
That's Paul Malong, leader of the South Sudan United Front. He was speaking with my colleague John Tanza from Nairobi last week. Mabior Garengde Mabior, a spokesman for the SPLM in opposition, said in a press release today that his group demanded the unconditional release of former First Vice President Riek Machar, who he says is under house arrest in South Africa. This happened during a meeting between Machar and a delegation of the IGAD Council of Ministers in South Africa. You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from The Voice of America. South Sudanese refugees use sport to curb violence in one Ugandan settlement. Find out more when we return.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
could you be friends with someone who broke your trust?
I cannot, because if I trust him again and again or her, she will keep on disappointing me. So I better keep myself away from wrong people and I start associating with the right people.
I can be friend to him because God said you don't hate others, right? Even though he broke my trust.
I can be because I'm not the kind of person who usually hold grudges against people. So if my friends still want me to be friends with him, we can still be friends, but not the best friend.
Yes, you can be friends, but the trust won't be there because, you know, the next time you tell him something, there is a possibility of him doing it again.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. It's time for our Tuesday health segment. And today we're talking about the right to breastfeed in public places around Kenya. Women demonstrators in Nairobi marched around a restaurant that allegedly asked a breastfeeding mother to cover up or breastfeed in the bathroom. The women say restaurants and other facilities need to support mothers who choose to breastfeed in public spaces. Rael Ambor reports for VOA from Nairobi.
What is so offensive about breastfeeding that you'd send a mother to the bathroom? This was a question posed by women taking part in Tuesday's march from Nairobi's Freedom Corner to Parliament and then to Olive Restaurant in downtown Nairobi. It was at this restaurant that 26-year-old Beth Njeri says she was humiliated by a waitress for breastfeeding her baby. It was early afternoon. Njeri stepped into the restaurant with her 16-month-old daughter, Alisa, and ordered some food. Njeri explained what happened.
My baby did not settle. She was moving. She was trying to start. So she was disturbing, moving all around. I took her and started breastfeeding her so that she can be calm because the order took some time. When I was still feeding her, a lady came and she told me to cover up or stop breastfeeding. So I stopped breastfeeding and I gave him some question. If there is somewhere I can maybe breastfeed well. So she lowered her head toward the washrooms.
Njeri was angry and in her rage posted a description of the incident on her Facebook page. The post was picked up by members of other groups and quickly went viral, with mostly women jumping to her defense and even planning Tuesday's march. Njeri says that she was shocked by the response from her post, but was glad that the incident has sparked a national dialogue on breastfeeding.
Women should breastfeed anywhere, maybe even in public places, because you can't even choose where the baby will want to breastfeed. It's initial.
Kenya's parliament is considering two bills that will mandate safe and convenient spaces for lactating mothers. Both would require employers to set aside special areas for breastfeeding mothers in the workplace. Nairobi County Nutrition Coordinator Esther Komboka marched Tuesday in solidarity with the mothers.
Every public space that holds more than 30 people is supposed to provide a breastfeeding space. We expect our organizations and all our public spaces in this city to be able to provide breastfeeding spaces for our mothers.
Meanwhile, the eatery has issued an apology to Njeri via its Facebook page and appealed for calm while it deals with the matter. Rael Ombor for VOA News, Nairobi.
South Sudanese at the Agojo Refugee Settlement in the northern Ugandan district of Adjumani have organized a football tournament, which they say keeps students busy and prevents them from engaging in deviant behavior. Organizers say the games also encourage youth to develop their talents and reduce gender-based violence. Simon Peter Apiku has the story for VOA from Adjumani district.
Excitement among players is running high at football games in Agojo camp in the run-up to the tournament, where all 8 blocks of the camp are expected to compete. The tournament will run until the end of the first-term school holidays later this month. Martin Kurtupitir, a tournament organizer, says the idea of doing something to engage students and other youth during the school holidays first occurred to them after a fellow refugee offered to sponsor a football trophy for the community.
We sat together, we came with this initiative of saying in this holiday we have to organize a tournament for them such that they can, we shall keep the youth busy. They will know what is good and bad. They will learn from the community.
Agojo Camp Chairman Awio William Angelo says in the past there was not much to keep students busy during the holidays, and many of them got involved in deviant behavior, including drug or alcohol-induced violence. Angelo says tournament matches, which will be played every day until the end of the school holidays, should reduce those kinds of problems.
Most of the youth used to spend their time on drinking alcohol. Once this football was organized, and right now you can see all of them are here at the ground, no one is drunk.
Letio Lili, a resident of Agojo's Block 2, came to watch the game with her children and cheer on her team that was taking on Block 11. She says such events relieve stress and reduce violent activity among refugees.
Like when you have problem with somebody at home, maybe you are likely to just avoid that kind of problems. You may come from home to the football places whereby that person may also keep quiet. He may even forget, or she may forget of what you people are in.
One big problem in the community tournament organizers hope to address, says Peter, is gender-based violence or GBV.
When we came here, there are a lot of cases of GBV. We don't know the laws of Uganda, whereby we lost even a lot of boys here. They were taken to a prison that is called a penitentiary.
Mexico Knight, another spectator at the games, says the inability of husbands to provide for their families the same way they used to can fuel tensions, often leading to domestic violence. She agrees the football matches generate excitement, which usually makes people forget their difficulties at home. Besides, says Knight, the games help foster unity among refugees.
I am in Block 2, then those who are in Block 11, I may get to know each other in one way or the other. Like if I don't know those people, then I will interact with them, I will know them, then they also know me. It will build relationship among Block 2 and Block 11. Not only this, all the block, they may know each other.
Block 2 player Juma Michael Valente, who competed in Monday's match, says the tournament's ultimate objective is to promote peaceful coexistence within families as well as across the entire settlement.
Since we saw tsunamis, there we have a lot of conflicts due to not understanding each other. We want to ensure that each youth knows what is important. It is not only the job, but football alone even can promote peace in the community. So the major reason we organize is to also create peace in the community through football.
The winner of the tournament will receive a trophy and a cash prize of 50,000 Ugandan shillings or $13.50. The second place finisher will only receive 50,000 Ugandan shillings. Pitia says each Agodzo camp household contributed a cup of grain from their monthly food rations that organizers sold to raise for the cash prizes and money to pay the Ugandan referees of the tournament. For VOA News, I am Simon Peter Piku in Adzumani.
Mundari wrestlers from Terekeka have been crowned the champions after defeating the Dinkabor wrestlers from Jonglei State in finals wrestling competition over the weekend. The two-week-long competition drew participants from Eastern Lakes, Jonglei, and Terekeka States to the capital. A South Sudan Wrestling Federation official says the event provides some good-natured fun and builds peace among the predominantly pastoralist communities. Manyang David Mayar has more for VOA from Juba.
Wearing colorful traditional dresses, girls and women from the Terekeka and Jonglei State communities sing pep songs to cheer on the wrestlers at Juba Football Stadium. Terekeka State wrestler Wanyang Guy's entire body is painted with hash from head to toe, mixed with burnt cow dung. His muscles fit to bust. Guy dashes into the green football stadium with his supporters cheering on him. Minutes later, Jonglei wrestler Lual Mawut follows suit, wearing a leopard skin. As the referee blows the whistle, the two young men lock horns, twisting their arms around each other, their muscles pulsing as they try to gain the upper hand. In a few seconds, each wrestler falls down on their sides. The referee from Eastern Lake State calls the match a win for the Terekeka State wrestler, prompting loud cheers and applause from the Terekeka side. The Terekeka wrestlers went on to win the second and third matches as well, but when the fourth set of wrestlers walked into the arena, Jonglei's Gongich Achaknai put away his Terekeka counterpart, sending the Jonglei State side into wild celebrations. ...28-year-old Terekeka wrestler Mayom Jangara won the last match, sealing a win for the Terekeka side for this year's inter-state wrestling competition. Lual Deng Akoi, who runs the South Sudan Wrestling Federation, which organized the event, says the competition encourages peace and reconciliation among the three pastoralist communities.
We want our youth to be together, such that whenever you are moving from a neighbor to a neighbor, then there should be no problem among themselves. Like now, they have changed their contacts and they are calling themselves through phones. How are you doing? How did you wake up? How do you feel after the wrestling? This is the good of this.
Akoi says it costs 6 million South Sudanese pounds to transport, accommodate, and feed the more than 60 wrestlers, and he considers it money well spent. Juba Town Mayor Stephen Wani says the tournament is one way to support the national dialogue.
It's cementing the ongoing peace. It's cementing the will of the people of South Sudan. We need these activities to continue in the different field of games, because we believe through these activities our people will soon come together again.
Relations between the communities have been strained since fighting broke out in 2013. Last year, more than 30 people traveling from Juba to Bor were killed by unidentified gunmen along the Juba-Bor road. Armed Mundari youth were accused of carrying out the attack on passengers who were primarily from Bor. In the fear of Dinkabor retaliation, hundreds of people were displaced from their homes in the Jemeza area in Terekeka State. Jale Magrunyin Pitia is from the Mundari community. Speaking in Arabic, he says wrestling competitions like this one could help end conflicts between the two communities.
You see, if you touch your enemy's body during wrestling game like this, your heart unites together with him in peace. I tell my people of Mundari to gently throw down people of Jonglei and people of Lake State. Don't break them, because wrestling is like sugar. It is very sweet, let no one break the leg of his brother.
Wrestling fans Atanyigai from Bor agrees.
This is the game equivalent to football for people in town, and this is bringing peace by knowing each other and making friends. We have known people like But Apor, Ngong Agot, Ladu Mayom, and Agot Nyang. These are people we have now known.
The winners were given with a trophy, but organizers say the biggest achievement for the wrestlers and their fans was peace and reconciliation between the three communities. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayar in Juba.
Here's a recap of today's top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Dam.
Thanks, Ayan. Sources confirm that at least one and possibly two World Vision aid workers were abducted by unknown armed men today after two of the agency's vehicles were ambushed. The workers were traveling from Tambora to Yambio. Sources say the ambush occurred in the area of Yangiri. A World Vision spokesman in Washington, D.C. confirmed that the incident took place. Our reporters are monitoring developments and will provide updates as they become available. Representatives of various South Sudanese opposition and civil society organizations, as well as the government, are arriving in the Ethiopian capital, Addis Ababa, to attend phase three of the IGAD-level talks. They start on Thursday. The spokesman for an umbrella group of 10 opposition parties called the South Sudan Opposition Alliance says his group looks forward to signing what he called a genuine peace document. Kwaji Lazu tells our reporters that the Opposition Alliance will negotiate in good faith. And finally, Mabior Grang de Mabior, a spokesman for the SPLM in opposition, said in a press release today that his group has demanded the unconditional release of former First Vice President Riek Machar, who he says has been under house arrest in South Africa for several months. The demand came during a meeting between Machar and a delegation of the IGAD Council of Ministers in South Africa. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
Thanks, Carol. And that's our show for this Tuesday. We leave you with the song La Suba by Victoria Ole. Listening to Victoria Ole with the song La Suba. I'm Ayan Dangbior in Washington. Thanks for being here. We'd like to hear what you think about our show. You can reach us on the web at southsudan@voanews.com or contact us on Facebook. Our title is South Sudan in Focus. Please join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.